In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we are all welcomed. Shall we say our opening prayer together? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I speak, the rain is falling and the house is full of a sort of green, watery light. It's ordinary time in the church's year. The story that we began to tell in Advent has come to what seems to be a resounding finale in Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, and we are now unceremoniously dumped back into our own rainy, ordinary lives, with the charge to see what we have learnt from the annual retelling of the story and how that will impact both on our understanding and our actions moving forward. The colour for ordinary time is also green, but there are very few green altar frontals or stoles that do not carry some gold stitching. Life, our lives, are shot with the presence of the divine. And the great story, of course, has not come to an end. Rather, it continues as God's purposes are worked out, and we, called to follow his Son, are to be part of those purposes. So let's begin our praise together with the great hymn, Who Would True Valour See?
The reading today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 3 and 9 to 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of our Lord.
God's promise to Abraham is about to come into fruition, but Sarah is unbelieving. The news is beyond all her wisdom, beyond her sight, and possibly beyond what she can manage straight away. She laughs. Earlier in Genesis, we're told how desperate Sarah is for a child, her sacrifice in allowing Abraham to have one with her servant girl. Life with Abraham is not straightforward for Sarah, and I wonder if her laughter expresses more than unbelief. Perhaps it hides within it her hurt and also her shame. Laughter is not always straightforward. The good news is that her laughter does not deter God. He hears and he understands. But there is something there about a call for Sarah to be honest, both with God and with herself. Yes, you did laugh. I wonder if there are areas of our life that we are not honest about to ourselves as well as to others. Are there times when our unbelief or hurt holds us back from moving forward? For these and other sins, we can ask God's forgiveness. Almighty God, we confess that we have not lived in love. Called to the light, we have harboured the dark within us. Redeemed by mercy, we have continued to judge. Though bearers of the good news, we have been fearful to trust or share it. Healed by compassion, we have been complacent over the wounds of others. Forgive us, for we have sinned against you and against our neighbour. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sin, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us hear the Gospel for today.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at the 35th verse. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: 'The kingdom of heaven has come near.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
This last couple of weeks, since the killing of George Floyd, we have become very conscious of the discord and hurt that our world contains, anger and frustration. And in the relative quiet of our own lockdown, some of us have felt stunned by the scenes on the television. Jesus looks upon the world and is filled with compassion. He sees the people harassed and helpless. But when he sends out his disciples, he doesn't send them to everyone at this stage, only to the children of Israel. A couple of ways of understanding this is that firstly, he felt that his community must start with itself. In fact, it is one of the interesting things about Jesus that he does not rail against the Romans, those who held worldly power at that time, but rather his fury, and you will find in his words, particularly in Matthew, a fury, is directed at his own, the people of Israel, specifically the religious leaders. Jesus perhaps believes we must get our own house in order, take the plank out of our own eyes before judging anyone else. And a second understanding of this call, only to go to the lost sheep of Israel, could be that our Lord has not yet understood or taken on board the fact that his mission was beyond Israel. No, no, you say, Jesus always knew everything. Well, perhaps, but if we ponder the rather shocking tale of the Syrophoenician woman later in Matthew, there is no doubt that something in that encounter moves Jesus on, changes something within his understanding. At Cafe Church last week, we thought about implicit bias, that bias that is hotwired within us to feel more comfortable with people like ourselves, and to imbue, as it were, the stereotypes that we are surrounded by from birth. And as we grow older, so we accumulate facts and we look at facts through the lens of those implicit biases. Social conditioning, we might call it. And alongside that part of the human condition, or rather to deal with it, I suppose, we need to watch ourselves and to be honest about where it arises and the impact that it has, or because it's hard to see for ourselves, not to be defensive when others have to point it out to us. Jesus could not have been fully human if he did not carry this aptitude for implicit bias, nor would he have been fully human without the capacity to learn. We know that as a child, he seeks out the wisdom in the temple. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but bear with me and bring these two approaches together. I think if we do, we can suggest that in the face of great global questions about prejudice and resultant oppression, we perhaps need firstly to start with ourselves, to be honest about it and see what we can do together. God can draw us into life beyond our wisdom, beyond our defences. This should, of course, come with a health warning, though. There are few things that make us crosser and more churned up than having innate characteristics challenged. But the cost of not doing so, well, we have seen. One positive suggested way forward is that as we become aware, and if we pray, God will help us become more aware, uncomfortable as that is. Remember, Sarah, you did laugh. As we become more aware, so we can intentionally set out to shift the stereotypes, rid us of those demons. And when we shift stereotypes, we find people buried behind them. So that could be through relationships, but also, if those are not immediately available, through art, or biography or good documentaries, allowing ourselves to look and listen deeply. Those of us who watched the Sitting in Limbo film recently on iPlayer will have felt our awareness of what was a political scandal deepening into something more human, more devastatingly personal. This isn't to do just with race, though that is an imperative. It is also to do with age, sexuality, class, gender, and so on. Jesus started with his own religious community. He asks us to start with ourselves. Jesus modelled for us a capacity to be open and to learn and widen his understanding. He asks the same of us. The optional collect for today is very beautiful. Let us say it together. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son, and that we may allow others to find true life in him also. Amen. Before Jeff leads us in prayer, we are going to start as we mean to go on. And I would ask you all to quietly say the Lord's Prayer as we listen to it sung in another language, in his language, in Aramaic.
Merciful God, we pray for the many people who have contracted the coronavirus. Bring comfort to those grieving loved ones who have died, and peace to those worried, fearful, and uncertain as the virus spreads. We also pray for governments and authorities who are developing strategies to contain and deal with the virus, and those in the health service who may be risking their own lives to care for sick patients. Help us all to be responsible in the things that we do in our lives to prevent the spread of the virus by taking heed of the recommended precautions and avoiding situations which may make things worse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we are part of the tensions and injustices of this world. Heal the resentment between people and intervene in the world's conflicts. Help us to walk humbly with you at our side and lead us down the path of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, we pray for all those in our world suffering from racism, sexism, and religious discrimination. For the individuals who are silenced for expressing their beliefs. For people who feel marginalized within society. Help them remain positive despite physical and psychological strife. Help them to forgive those who persecute them or who fail to treat them with respect. Please enlighten all your disciples that discrimination does not only come in the form of lowering others, but it demonstrates itself in the process of granting of privileges to select groups of people as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for hearing our prayers as we move into the coming week. Help us to remember our Saviour's words as he sent his disciples out into the world. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My husband, who is not a professing Christian, still holds Jesus in very high regard because he says he is always challenging. He never lets us rest on our laurels. The world can be made better, and in every generation there is a challenge for us, a working towards the making of the kingdom. Obviously, I've added that last phrase. Following Jesus is not about idling along at all. It is about change and transformation of ourselves and through ourselves the world. Let us sing together our next hymn. Will you come and follow me?
My life.
poem by Adrian Crowther. I can't breathe. When will world leaders leave behind injustice and intolerance because I can't breathe? Can our Lord forgive our sins, help us to know him better? We must restore righteousness through peace and love because I can't breathe. Can we reach out to our lockdown neighbours and relieve the pain that Jesus bore for us on the cross because I can't breathe? For what will be our future without God's grace to transform our countries, end racism and take us to a better place? Because I am struggling to breathe. In going north, Ella showed us that anything is possible, breaking down barriers by keep on keeping on. She sang so, she scat so, we are all here. And perhaps one day soon, there will be no more inequality, no more poverty. And as dark clouds lift, we dream of racial harmony, legal and peaceful equality. And perhaps then we can all breathe again.
A word to the wise, the reference to Ella was Ella Fitzgerald. Adrian had watched a documentary that he'd been very moved by about her. Thank you, Adrian, for sharing your thoughts at this time. And thank you to all of you who have shared with me the way you feel and what you're thinking at this moment. The challenge to us as we move forward is to make sure that we continue to be open, continue to let our thoughts develop and follow Christ, allowing him and his precious Spirit to enlighten us. Shall we receive God's blessing together? The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen. Our final hymn today is one of great reassurance. All our hope in God is founded.